Hello, everybody. What is up? Welcome to this weekly VS Code live stream, building your first VS Code extension. My name is Burke. I know you're probably expecting a fellow named Brian Clark. He couldn't be with us today, so you have me instead. Apologies up front for that, but it is what it is. Sorry. So today we've got a special guest. We've got Tyler. Where are you at, Tyler?
Hello.
Somebody let Tyler in. There he is.
Hey. How's it going? Man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good.
How do you say your last name? Is it Lionheart?
It's Lionheart.
Oh man, so close to Lionheart.
Very close. Very close. Yeah. You know, people normally get the heart part wrong. They'll say like, "Well, I don't understand the why is there a D in my last name? I don't get it." But yeah, it's Lionheart.
Yeah, I spell heart with a D all the time. Yeah, it's just. I wonder though, like, what's the etymology of that? Like, were you like a Lionheart at some point in time? If we go back far enough, and then it like changed. Do you know? Can you tell us this story?
Yeah, I was actually raised by lions as a young child. I'm very fortunate for those lions. They, you know, put me through college. And
the lions.
And all. Yeah. Well, they have a big heart, right? Hence the last name. So
true. And lots of money to pay for high quality educations for orphans like yourself. Well, now that we've totally, I derailed this whole thing. You're going to show us how to build. We're actually going to build. You're going to build a VS Code extension today. And yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what Tyler's going to build. Not the first clue. So I don't know. How do you want to set this up here?
So what I have planned is basically I want to take you all through the process of what it's like to like build your first VS Code extension and publish that extension to the VS Code marketplace. And so we'll basically start from just like I'll show you the end product so you see what we're going to be working on. And then we'll literally go from the Hello World example all the way through to publishing that on the marketplace.
Awesome. So let's get right into it, as I'm sure that folks who are joining us are ready to see like what this looks like. And I'm excited as well. I've made extensions, but only snippets. So I have not actually made an extension that does something, just one that puts snippets in the editor. So you have your espresso. Is that espresso?
It is espresso. I made a cortado this morning.
A what? A Cortana?
Yes, a Cortana. No, a cortado. It's like just like a couple shots of espresso and then equal part steamed milk.
Wow, that sounds involved.
If you're from California, it might be called a Gibraltar.
What I did was put coffee grounds into a machine, pressed a button, eventually it beeped, put some Coffee Mate in it. Yeah, you know what? Well, let's let Tyler get started here on this extension. Yeah, you can pull me off the stream and then I'll come back in as we go along here, but take it away, Tyler.
Sure. So let me first say like, hi, I'm Tyler. I don't know if I mentioned who I am in this giant company that is Microsoft, but I'm a software engineer on the VS Code team. And I own a bunch of different parts of VS Code, like the command palette. I own that, and all of the quick pick things that you'll see around VS Code, and then also like the authentication stuff. So all this stuff, and a few other miscellaneous other things. So that's what I own. So feel free to hit me up on Twitter or GitHub if you have any questions about that. But anyway, so let me show you what we're going to be building today, and then we will start from scratch and go through our demo. Since we only have an hour, I've kind of taken snippets of the extension that we're building, and I put them into VS Code snippets. It's kind of a fun way that I use VS Code for giving talks. So you'll see me like just somehow magically appear a bunch of text onto my editor. And I just want to let you know, I don't actually type that fast. Although you might think I do, but I don't. So anyway, here's what I wanted to build today. So maybe you've been in this situation where you are writing some TypeScript and you install a package that you want to use in your TypeScript project, but you don't know if that package has types available for you to use in TypeScript. So you're like, So, you know, you try to install the dependency and then you go over to your code and you're like, all right, let me see, do I, am I actually able to import this package? No, it doesn't look like there are any types here. So I must, now I got to go and find the types, the at type slash whatever package project. So I wanted to make it a little bit easier for noticing if you need to install a types package for a specific dependency that you are depending on. So as an example, here is a random other extension that we will not be talking about today, but I really just wanted to use the fact that it had a package.json. And you see that I've got three dependencies here, and two of which have a problem if I hover over it. And if you see here at the top, it says no types property detected in package.json. You may need to install, install a types package like at types express if you want this package to work in TypeScript files nicely. So, so one of the features of my extension is that it will give you those problems, those squigglies, as they're called. And I call them problems because they show up here in the problems tab. You can see they show up here, right? They're also often called diagnostics, and we'll see that that term used later when we look at the API. But then the other thing I wanted to do was, all right, don't just tell me I need to install a types package, but actually do it for me. And so now we have a quick fix as well that says install at types express module. And if we click on that, then a task will get run and that will add that types file to my package just like that. And if you noticed, it used yarn in this case. And my extension just does a very simple, like, is there a yarn lock in the repository? If so, then use yarn to install it. Otherwise, use npm to install it. So that's all it does. And then if we go back to the package.json, we see that express no longer has the squiggly next to it. Because if we look up here, we see that there is indeed a at types express file. So that's what we're going to be building. Let's go ahead and do it. So I'm going to just close out of this because this is just, you see it says extension development host. This is actually this is a VS Code window with my extension loaded into it, but we don't want to use that because we're going to build it over again. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to open up VS Code. I guess I could have reused that window. Oh, well. And I think the streaming software is in my way here. Hang on. There we go. Oh, yeah. Let me hide that. Yeah, that's much better. All right. I'm going to open up my terminal here. And we're going to go over to a random place on my file system that I like to put all my stuff. Code, misc, and then I think it's like misc, yeah, VS Code extensions. Yeah, this is a good spot. All right, so let me bring you to the docs website, and I think there's a link for that somewhere that that Burke will share. But the first link that I want to take you to is obviously the VS Code link here, code.visualstudio.com. If you go to API at the top there, and then you go to, I've got, my screen's very small so that you all can see it, but there's usually like a topic section, and then you can go to your first extension here. And so for the first bit, we're just going to be following along with what this has to say. So for you, go ahead and install Yo and generator code. And what Yo is it's just like this this like bootstrapping engine. And we'll see what that actually looks like in a quick second. But this is just going to give you the tools necessary in order to build your first VS Code extension. So I've already done this. I don't remember when I actually did this for the first time. It was many, many years ago, but go ahead and install it if you'd like. And then what we're going to do is we're going to run Yo code in our terminal. So there was a question that said, is the terminal only one way? I'm not entirely sure what that means at the moment, but perhaps you can elaborate. Oh, can you do that step without the terminal? No, at the moment, as far as I know, the only way to do this is to go through this process. Now, you could find one of our samples and work off of that. That's totally possible. And I'm actually going to show you those samples a little bit later. So stay tuned for that. But this is kind of the recommended way because it helps you like quickly answer all of the easy questions like what's the name of your extension? What do you want in the description? And in fact, why don't we just go ahead and do that? So I'm going to run yocode. Just yocode. And what will happen here is we'll get the little Yaoman guy saying, welcome to the Visual Studio Code extension generator. And then it'll ask, what kind of extension do you want to create? We're going to make a regular old extension. And I like TypeScript, so I'm going to do TypeScript for that. But you can see that there are a whole bunch of other options. There's if you want to make a color theme, or if you want to do just snippets, whatever you want, there are a bunch of different options here. So I'm going to do new extension TypeScript. The name of the extension is going to be something very unoriginal because I'm so bad with coming up with names like types installer helper. Be pretty bad, but fine. What is the identifier of your extension? We'll say VS Code dash types dash installer dash helper. Description helps you install at types modules. And then we will. Oh, hello, Brick.
Welcome. Oh, hey, I'm back. Hey, I got a quick question because this part always confuses me.
Yeah.
What is the difference between like the name and the identifier of the extension? Like, why do I need the identifier?
That's a great question. Let's look at one in the marketplace to give an example. So remote repositories, as an example, the name of this extension is remote repositories. But the identifier of this extension, if we go into the URL here, which is very hard to see in my address bar because my screen is so small, but you can see that the identifier says here, it says item name equals github.remotehub. And so the identifier in this case is going to be remote hub. And this is the ID of the package. It's to differentiate. This is the true unique ID. You could technically have multiple packages with the same name, but they all need to have a unique identifier.
So go back to your terminal real quick.
Sure.
The identifier here then would be Tyler Leonard or whatever your company name is, dot VS Code dash types dash installer dash helper.
Exactly. Yes.
But it could be dot anything. And how do you know that you haven't picked something that somebody else already owns?
It's a good question. I didn't check beforehand, but
it'll tell you.
To be honest with you, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine.
I think it'll be fine too. Sorry, go ahead. I've always had that question, so thank you for clearing that up.
I like at publish time, it will tell you. No. You've used an identifier that already exists, it doesn't do it at like build time because I think it's in this case, I think it's mostly like a local experience. So yeah. Right. So initialize a Git repository, always helpful. The next question is bundle the source code with Webpack. This is super useful if you're making a very, very like large extension, but we don't really need it for our simple extension. So I'm going to say no for that. And then I like to use Yarn, but you can use NPM if you'd like. It really doesn't matter a whole lot. I hope that doesn't upset anybody, but I don't think it really matters in the long run.
Yeah. How dare you say that? I'm offended. I'm leaving.
No, please stay. I need at least one viewer of the stream.
It's me, you with your gaming shirt, and me with my Hammond main Overwatch.
So that we can relate to Gen Z, right?
So that I can. Aren't you Gen Z? Aren't you Gen Z, Tyler?
No, I'm a millennial.
Are you?
Filthy millennial.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, so I don't know if you saw there, but it ran Yarn for us, or it would run npm install for us, and then it just says, "All right, to start editing with VS Code, go ahead and open it in VS Code." So I'm going to go ahead and do that. We're just going to open up another window. Yes, I do trust this folder because I just created it.
Just a quick question here: why all of a sudden are we all seeing that message?
Ah, good question. I'm not the best person to talk to because it's not quite my domain, but I will say, I'll just give a general statement about that. So that dialogue is what is called workspace trust. And the idea here is that we want users to be very, very sure that the workspace that they're opening is something that they trust, because there are a bunch of extensions in the VS Code ecosystem that will look at the contents of your workspace. And in some cases, they'll actually like run code in your workspaces. So a great example of this is ESLint, which in this case is using a JSON file for configuration. But in some configurations, ESLint allows you to use just a raw JavaScript file. And the ESLint extension will read in that file and execute it if it's JavaScript file. So if I'm a bad person, which I don't think that I am, but if I were, I could put just anything in my ESLintRC.js that could, I don't know, send some credentials or secrets or whatever to my secret server that you don't know about. And you wouldn't even know about it. You would just open VS Code and you would be like owned at that point. So workspace trust is a feature to kind of put the brakes on and be like, listen, code in your workspace can be executed. Are you absolutely sure you trust this? Because we want you to be sure before we go and start running stuff.
All right, appreciate that. I've just been seeing that every time I open VS Code, and some people have asked, like, why do I have to see this now? And that's the thing, right? Everybody has to see it for every project until you say that you trust the folder.
One thing, though, is that I can't really bring it up at the moment, but in that dialogue that we saw, there's a little checkbox there that says, hey, trust everything at the parent of this folder. So let's say you put all of your GitHub repositories cloned locally under one big folder. You could hit that checkbox and it would basically say, all right, everything in this parent folder, I trust. So if you clone things in the future in that location, then you won't get that dialogue anymore. So a nice way to do this is like, all right, for all of my stuff that I 100% know I trust, I'm going to put it in a, you know, in a like GitHub folder or something like that. That GitHub folder being one of the folders that I trust. And then you never see that dialogue again for anything that goes under there. But then on another folder, you have like, I don't know, just kind of like a dumping ground of other projects that you're cloning, right?
Shady Projects. And then it's a folder called Shady Projects. And you
put right. A folder called Shady Projects. And for those, then you like, you don't trust them. And then you can like read them without having any of the code in them get executed if that's something that you do.
Okay, so that's workspace trust. Let's rock and roll, man. I won't
Sorry, I got diverted there. All right. So we've done it. We've made our first extension. It's beautiful, isn't it? Let me show you. Let's walk through all the files here. So let's see. You have your usual files, your README that just tells that just says like what your project is all about. It even includes a change log if you want to use that. Some stuff for configuring how TypeScript will be used in the project, how ESLint will be used in the project, a gitignore, pretty standard, a VS Code ignore, which is kind of interesting. It's like a gitignore in that when you publish your extension, any file that is in this folder will get ignored, which is kind of interesting. It makes your extension a little bit smaller.
Huh, I've never seen that file before. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's this quick start to help kind of get you started as well. And then the yarn lock or package lock if you chose NPM and a yarn RC. And then we've got our usual source folder. And inside of that, we've got a test folder, which we're not going to be covering in this talk. And then the meat of our extension, which is in extension.ts. And before we get to that, actually, I want to talk about the package.json, which is a little bit more complicated than your normal package.json. So we see at the top here, we've got our things that we entered from Yo code. So we got our name, which is actually the ID on the marketplace. And then we have our display name, which is what actually gets displayed on the marketplace. So that was the remote repositories example from before. We've got our description that we added. And then the rest of this is auto-generated. So we've got our version, which starts out at 001. This is an interesting thing called engines. And under there, you see VS Code and this version. And basically, this says, hey, my extension works with version 1.57 of VS Code and above. And the caret means it can handle any number here so long as it's above 57. One thing in being a extension author with plenty of experience, you will have to change this from time to time if you are trying to use newer features of VS Code, newer extensions. Some categories for the marketplace stuff. Activation events is pretty interesting. This is where you declare what actually loads your extension. I'm going to skip that for now because we will come back to it when we talk about the actual code. The main is where your code is actually located. So you see I've got it in this out extension.js because obviously you can't run TypeScript, you need to run JavaScript. And then this contribute section is where the meat of your extension is really going to be configured. And if I just like hit control space here, I can see that there's a bunch of different IntelliSense options here for different things that you can add to this. And basically the contributes section here says all contributions of the VS Code extension represented by this package. And typically contributions mean things that you are adding to the UI. So the example here is we have a section for commands. And basically this says, these are things that I want to show up in the command palette, in this, right? And it only has one command defined with a title of Hello World, and then a command, which is this weird like the name of my extension dot Hello World. And so now we'll look at what this actually does by going over to the code. And then the rest of this file is the usual suspect scripts and dev dependencies. And there would be dependencies here if you needed to add them. Right. Extension. So as I mentioned before, let me go ahead and hide that for a second. We were looking at that command. It's called a command ID. And basically, we are registering what we want to do for that command. So when that command gets run, we're going to run this little function here. And all it's going to do is do vscode.window.showInformationMessage, and then we get Hello World from types installer. You see that like this extension is usually, there's like a VS Code here, and then you do dot, and then some kind of namespace. So like, for example, got a little overzealous there. Dot, there are a bunch of types here, but then there are also some namespaces. There's a lot of stuff in here. Yeah, here we go. So these are the different namespaces. So like, I don't know, languages, and then a bunch of other things that you can register. And we'll be touching that in a little bit, but that's generally how you use the API in that case. So let me go ahead and build this extension. All I did there was Command Shift B, and if you're on Linux or Mac OS, it's Control Shift B. You can see I got a little building indicator down in my status bar. If I click on that, we'll see that the that TypeScript is compiling our workspace here.
So, Tyler, quick question here. Sure. When you were specifying that VS Code version, what happens if my VS Code isn't of the right version? Does the extension just not even show up in the marketplace? Or does it, because I've never had an extension tell me like your VS Code version is too low.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is in the marketplace inside of VS Code, so the actual like pane here, it will only install the version that your version of VS Code can use.
So you won't even see it if you can't use it? It isn't even there?
I think so. I don't remember exactly, to be honest. But I'm pretty sure that it says, I don't remember. I don't want to give the wrong answer.
Yeah, that's curious. I hadn't thought about this because my VS Code is always up to date. I'm wondering for folks out there if there are certain people that are locked to a specific version because of some sort of, mm-hmm. I'm sure there is some scenario, you know, in some company somewhere where people are locked to a specific version of VS Code for certain reasons.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to it, but I can at least say this, that if you're on an old version of an extension, there will never be a scenario where you will accidentally get a version of an extension that isn't supported by your version of VS Code. So at least you know that, like, even if you are on an old version of VS Code, you're not going to one day accidentally get, an extension and then you're broken and things like that. So
what's up here with your TypeScript, man?
You know,
one file.
I don't know why it's taking so long. My suspicion is that since I'm sharing my screen, it's causing, because my fan is just going nuts. I'm going to try to kill this one and we're going to try again.
No problem.
Just in case.
Is this, do you have one of the new M1 Macs? Is this an M1?
I don't yet. It's the generation right before that. Okay, there it goes. All right. I don't know what happened there, but we're good now. So we can see that it generated this out folder. So let's go ahead and run this. And all I got to do is hit F5. And so now if you notice, I've got extension development host up here. That means that this window of VS Code is running my extension. And then this one over here is actually debugging it. And what do I mean by that? I mean, so I can go ahead and place a breakpoint like this. But now here's something interesting. I'm debugging my extension, but the breakpoint is unbound. It should be bright red because I'm debugging my extension. But that's where we come to the activation events section here that I mentioned before. And it says that the only activation event is when the command VS Code types installer helper hello world is run. And in other words, that means that my extension won't activate until I run a command in the command palette called hello world.
That's the wrong
one. Wrong one. Too many windows. That one there. I'm not going to run it just yet, but I want to make the distinction that basically what this is saying is that my extension's JavaScript isn't even loaded into the session yet. And that's why the breakpoint is unbound. And it's not going to load it into VS Code until it is activated. So let me go ahead and run that hello world. And then we'll see that the breakpoint gets hit because my extension gets activated. The JavaScript gets loaded into the what we call the extension host, in other words, into VS Code. And then the breakpoint gets hit and I'm here. And so then if I just hit continue on that and go back to the other window, we see it says hello world from types installer helper. I wanted to call that out in case anybody out there is like working on an extension and puts their breakpoint there and it's like, I don't understand. I can't get my breakpoint to get hit. well, the problem might actually be in your activation events, and you should go and make sure that your extension is actually getting activated before before you do anything else. All right. 9 o'clock. We've got 30 minutes, and I'm going to run through this code. Is there any questions that I could maybe answer at the moment before we get into the thick of it?
We got a couple, Tyler, but I think let's go ahead and press through and finish out, and then we'll cover some of these at the end. I guess we could do one, which, let's get this out of the way. What theme are you using?
Oh yeah, this is the I believe it's panda theme. This one.
Ooh, I like that icon.
Yeah, the icon's nice. It's got this like soft pastel color that I really like, and then I use Fira code for my font.
Nice. All right, yeah. Let's get into it.
All right. So as I said, I threw this all together in a bunch of snippets. So here's how this works. And maybe you'll end up doing a talk at some point and you're like, huh, I really liked how he did that. So, right, we're going to work on our extension now. Here's the body of what the activate function is going to look like. And we'll just run through it really quick. So, as I said that we had problems and diagnostics, and those are kind of synonymous. So, what we're going to do is we're going to use an API called VS Code Languages create diagnostic collection, and this is going to allow us to we can add diagnostic objects into this collection, and then those squiggles will show up on the screen. So we're making another collection, and then I've also made this handler that is going to run, as you see here. Hang on, let me get rid of the extension pane there, get some more screen real estate. You can see I have this handler function, and it's going to run every time a text document is open and every time a text document changed. So this is just to make sure that the problems are going to be up to date whenever the file changes or a new file opens or something like that.
It runs it on every file?
It'll run it on every single file, but inside of the handler function, you can see that...
Oh, package.json. Okay.
Yeah, we're only looking for things with a file named package.json.
Gotcha.
So let's see. Let's look at the problems here really quick. We've got an await, so let's go ahead and add... We'll do this, and we'll add async to the function there so that that's happy. Before I go any further here, let's go ahead and look at this handler in depth. So the idea is, all right, only for package.json, I want you to run a function called getDiagnostics. And basically this is going to see, all right, which packages in my package.json do I need to say, hey, you probably need a types file with that.
And that's a method you're going to define?
Right. I'm going to make that in just a second. And then we're just going to take those diagnostics and we're just going to set the diagnostic collections, the diagnostics for that specific URI. In other words, for this file, throw these diagnostics at it. And then this right here is actually going to cause little squiggles to show up in VS Code.
So all of this is to get the squiggles. This is basically setting up the right APIs for the squiggles. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So now let's go ahead and go up here. And I'll add my get diagnostics function. Get diag. Oops. This always happens when I
live coding is not easy. Yeah. Folks.
Get diagnostics all logic. All right. Great. So now we're up here at get diagnostics. So this is going to be the biggest function of all of the snippets of code. And I'm going to try to not gloss over it too much, but there is some like regex logic that I had to do in order to get this working. But this talks mostly about the process, not about this specific implementation of this extension. But anyway, so get diagnostics, we pass in a doc, and then we're going to get the text of that document, which you just call get text on. And so now this has the entire package.json text in it. And then we're going to make this array that we're going to add a bunch of diagnostics to that we will return. And you see we return it here, and then we also return it all the way at the bottom. All right, so next we're going to do is we're going to try to parse that text, because basically, you know, the package.json is JSON. So let's go ahead and use JavaScript to its best ability and parse it so that it's easier to see what's going on inside. However, since we are adding problems, adding diagnostics, we need to be specific about what line and what character in the package.json we need to mark with a squiggle. So not only do we have to parse the JSON, but we also have to kind of keep it in its like text representation. So we make sure that we mark the right spots. It's a little, if I were to redo this again, I think I'd probably just, I don't know, maybe get rid of parsing it, because I don't think it provides a whole lot of extra value. But you know, it's good enough for now. We don't need perfect for our first version of our extension.
So in other words, you have to parse all that raw text in order to add the squiggles. You have to tell the squiggles, right, put the squiggles on these exact characters.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because when I parse the package.json as JSON, I have no idea what lines are on which, right? There's just no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so I take the text and I split it by new lines. And this is an easy way to make sure that you split correctly.
And what does split do?
Actually, I think
into an array.
Yeah. So it's going to turn the text into an array. I actually think this is this should have been the reverse. It should be /r first and then /n. Oh, hopefully that doesn't break my.
You're brave. You're writing right on the fly.
The reason why is, like, first we want to try to split by both of these characters, and then if there isn't a /r/n, then we want to split by just /n, because
which
on
is
window,
character turns, right, and blank
right,
lines.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. So then, what this is doing is this is basically saying, all right, what line in the package.json has the dependencies array in my package.json? So I should have had an example package.json, but you know, this has a dev dependencies. There would be a regular dependencies.
But we could pretend property. This was dependencies. Yeah. So it would be line 32 in this.
Right. Case. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this would be line 32. So some fun regex magic there. And then also a +1 because I think VS Code likes to be one index based rather than zero index.
Because arrays start at zero?
Right, right. But if we look at any file, you know, the line number
starts at one.
Yeah, so don't get tripped up by that.
Off by one errors, man.
Yeah. All right, so then we're like, all right, so if it's not -1, in other words, we found a dependencies array, then things get a little complicated and we got to do some fun regex stuff. And I'll kind of say what this is doing. So basically, I'll put this all on GitHub later so you can see it. I don't think I need to teach you all regex stuff, because that in itself would be a whole thing and I don't want to get into that. But basically what this while loop is doing is it's going line by line and saying, all right, here's a package name. Here's a package name. Here's a package name. Here's a package name. And then for each one of those package names, it's going to test whether or not we should mark it as as one that has a problem, that should have a little squiggle that says you need to install a type for that.
Should mark is a method you're going to have to define.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's going to be interesting, is how do you know whether or not it needs types or not?
Right. So, all right. And then the fun parts of the VS Code URI are You can use this if you want to get the workspace folder for a specific URI, which is very nice. And then you can also do this vscode.uri.joinpath to make new URIs. And VS Code likes to use URIs everywhere because they're a little bit more agnostic than a normal file path.
So what is that? If that's just the path to the file?
Right. Yeah, the path to the file. So an example URI would be like file /, and then be like users Tyler.
Okay.
foo.js.
And why do you need this?
In this case, or just
why do you need? You can't just tell VS Code like, "Hey, give me the path to this file."
Well, that's
that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, basically. Yeah, yeah. So it's okay.
You're looking for the node modules folder.
The
complete path to the node modules folder.
Right. Yes. And in fact, we're looking for the node modules path for the package that we're going to test. So let me show you what the should mark function looks like, and then maybe it'll make a little bit more sense. So should mark full. All right. So I'm sure there are edge cases. I just want to throw that out there, but I found that this does a decent job of detecting a lot of scenarios. So we have the node module path. And what this points to is, let's say I'm trying to find, what was the example before? It was Express. I'm saying, all right, I want to add Express to my dependencies. Well, here are some things that I know that I can check. Number one, is there an @type/express already in my dev dependencies? If there is, good. I don't need a squiggle. That's this part here. Number two, if there is a types property in the module, the express modules package.json, then it's saying, hey, I already have types. I'm good. I bundle them with my module itself. So you're all set to go. That's this case here. And an example of that was the colors module, I believe, that had a types property in their package.json, and that pointed to a types file. So we don't want to add a squiggle if a package does that. And then the last one is if a module already contains an index.dts file, then it already gets picked up by TypeScript. So we don't have to do anything in that case as well. So those were the three scenarios that I used in this case. There might be ones that I'm missing, but that's pretty good.
So basically, if I could summarize that, then you're looking at, gonna look at every single NPM package in the dependencies.
Yeah.
You're not looking at dependencies of dependencies.
No.
Okay, right. So you're not it's not the whole node modules folder. It's only the dependencies, and then you're looking at them and saying, does this thing already contain TypeScript definitions? If so, go to the next one.
Right.
But if not, you then assume that it needs TypeScript definitions.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So then all right. So that was all the logic to get the diagnostics. And when I publish this after this talk, I encourage you all to roast my code if you'd like. So basically at the end of the day, we're saying, all right, this one needs to be marked. Then we can push a diagnostic onto our diagnostics array. We're going to say it's information severity, because it's not like an error or anything. I just put information. It doesn't really matter.
What are the other options? What else can you do besides information?
You could do error, hint, information, and warning.
Are they different colors?
Yeah, they're different colors. Information is blue, error is red, warning yellow, and then I think hint is like a different shade of blue. And of course, I think that also might be theme dependent as well. So. So then the message here is what you saw when I hovered over one. the code is interesting. We need this to be kind of unique to our extension, because this code is how we hook up the squiggles to the light bulb that we saw. And we'll see that in just a second. And then the source is just to tell the user which extension provided this. I guess I should change this to types installer helper. And then the range is where the squiggle should be. And that's that. So then the next part is we did the squiggles bit. Now we need to hook up the light bulb. And the light bulb is what's called a code action. And to do that, we need to register a code action provider. And you see, I've got this red squiggle here. That's because I haven't created this yet, but I'm actually going to create it in a new file and call it types installer.ts. And then, let's see, import star as VS Code from, oh, look at that. That's pretty good. Thank you, Copilot. Yeah, that was
code. You threw some Copilot in there.
Wow.
You aren't even going to know what that is.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's exactly almost what I wanted. Types installer, implements VS Code dot code action provider. That's what this is going to be. And then we see we get a little light bulb that says implement interface. So we can go ahead and do that. Yeah, it is. It is. Copilot dropped.
Yeah.
Today.
So quick note for people. Tyler's using something new from GitHub called Copilot, where it's trying to predict for him what he should type, which is why it knew to import VS Code from VS Code. That's Copilot.
Yeah. So while you were talking there, I just filled in the body for provide code actions. And so what this is going to do is provide code actions is going to run every single time a document changes, or there's also a manual way to trigger them as well. But this function will run basically every time a file changes, and it's going to get passed into it this, and of course it's so hard to see because my screen's so small, but it passes in this context object, and that context object has a dot diagnostics property, and that has all of the diagnostics in a file. And so basically what we're doing here is we're saying, all right, for all the diagnostics in the file, let's just grab our diagnostics, the no types detected one. And then we're going to do something called this.create code action from that diagnostic. And this is like, all this is really, oh, that is just.
That's insane. So that's Copilot
that's
trying
weird.
To predict what you want next.
Okay. Here's my, hang on. Create. But I want to do it myself.
You are your own Copilot.
Yeah. And so this is my implementation of that, which is basically we're just going to get the text of the document. We're going to make a new code action. I might be going a little faster because I realize we're running out of time here. We're going to make a new code action that says install at types slash whatever the text is. In other words, the module that we want to install, and we want to call it a quick fix code action. So then we do a bunch of other like kind of boilerplatey stuff. But the interesting bit here is that when you click on the light bulb and you say, all right, install at types slash express module, you define a command that you want to run. And we're already familiar with commands because of the hello world example before. So we're going to make a new command called types installer.install types module. And that is going to be responsible for actually running yarn install, whatever, or npm install. And to do that, I'm just going to throw it in the constructor of this class so that it gets registered immediately. You can see I'm doing the same old vscode.commands.register command with that command ID that I used below down there. And then we've got our range that we're passing into it. And how we're doing that is we see that there's an arguments option here where we're passing in the range of that diagnostic. And then all we're doing here is detecting if we should use yarn or not. And then creating what's called a VS Code shell execution with a string that we want to run. And then we're telling VS Code, hey, execute this task. And then we're making a new task. And then we're passing in the shell exec there.
So basically all that does is open the terminal and runs that npm or yarn install. Does it open an internal terminal or one that you can actually see?
One that you can actually see. There is a flag on, it's either this, there's an option on either shell execution or VS Code task that lets you have it run in the background if you'd like. But in the essence of time, I won't cover that. But that is so easy to configure if you want it either way. So that's green. It's not red, so it's happy with all the code in it. Let's go ahead and do this. Import types installer from module./types. That one's happy. We're all happy. Are you happy, Burke?
I'm extremely happy. I've never been happier.
And so then let's go ahead and build this thing. And of course, TypeScript was always running there. So always watching, always listening. TypeScript. And let's go ahead and run it with F5. And hopefully everything works, one would hope. So we're expecting, what are we expecting in this instance?
Well, do we have to activate it?
Oh, good point. You reminded me that right now, our only activation event is when we run this hello world command here. But we're not using that anymore. So let's go ahead and get rid of that there, and we'll get rid of that here.
All the time.
And now we can do, the star is a little aggressive. You really shouldn't do that, but ideally we do on language and then we do like JSON. Because that's pretty good. That's so like
anytime it detects a file with JSON.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's see. There we go.
Hey!
Nice. So this one obviously didn't get its thing because we have a types file already defined there. Colors is an example that has, where is colors? It's in here somewhere. Yeah, it's got an index.dts in there. I don't think it has a types property, but regardless, it's got its own mechanism and TFJS has nothing. So let's go ahead and delete this. And then if we save it, and then there we go. And then Express shows up and it says, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, but the types is still there. It's still in the node modules.
It is, but really, like, you want to be explicit here, right? Because if I give you...
Oh, because then it won't show up if somebody else downloads it.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
It'll technically work for me, but not for you if I were to just give you the code.
Works on my machine.
Right. So let's just make sure that our task works. And it looks like it's doing just fine. And there it is. And we're all happy. Great. So with 6 minutes left, I'm going to try to publish this extension. I think we can do it in time. It's very easy. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. So what you need to get.
Can you expand that terminal all the way to the top?
Yes.
And hide that sidebar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no problem. Let's clear that. All right. So first thing we need to do is make sure we install what's called VSCE, which stands for VS Code Extension, I believe. And VSCE lets you publish extensions. So publish and then --help publish an extension. So basically what I can do here is publish. And I think that's all I need to run actually is just VSCE publish. And I think it's going to complain a couple of times. Oh, sorry, this is the wrong repository. This is my other, that was the extension I was.
That's the one you were testing.
That I was testing, yeah. Whoops, my bad. Take two, VSCE publish. Okay, so first error, missing publisher name. I think this is useful to show just because it's, you just have to go through them. So it's like publisher name I need in here. I'll do Tyler Leonhardt like I do for my other extensions. All right, let's run it again. I'll expand that. What else is wrong? Ah, so this is a great one. I'm just going to make a quick edit here. But basically it's saying, hey, you're using the README that we gave you. You've not made any changes whatsoever. Hello. I'm just going to add that for now since we're short for time, but I'll publish another version in a little bit with a better README.
And the README is important because that's what's going to show up, right,
on exactly. The
extension gallery.
Oh, all right. It really knows.
what is the algorithm they're using there?
Yeah. Hello, world. A classic. All right. What else is wrong? Your repository field is missing. Yes, that's because I haven't published it to GitHub yet. But I'll just hit yes for that. That's fine. And it's published, just like that. So I was actually already logged into VSCE, but one of the things that you'll need to do, I actually wasn't expecting that to be, so I was expecting to do more hand-holding in that case, but my account was already logged in. So what you do here is there's a VSCE login command. And you basically say, hey, I want to log in to this publisher, like that. And so then it's already known. Do you want to override this pat? Well, yes. You won't get that prompt if you're doing this for the first time. But then it's going to say, hey, we need a personal access token for publisher this. And I want to show you where to get that. So dev.azure.com. You go here, and then you can go over to this little user settings thing. And then you can go to personal access tokens here. And then you can create a new token. And then here's where it gets interesting. So you can put like whatever you want here. So marketplace, like that. And then organizations, you could specify a specific organization or do all. You can change the expiration date to whatever you want, like 90 days. And so then I believe all the scope, you could do full access, but it's not really recommended. I think the scope you want, and sorry, my screen is so small, but if you keep just keep scrolling in here, there's a marketplace one. And I think you just need publish access for that. Maybe manage. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's just publish. And so then you can create that. I'm not going to create it because otherwise the access token will show on my screen. And you don't need my access token.
Anymore. I do.
No, you don't. No.
Well, they're I need free. One for SDSD, SDFDSD. So
yeah. Yeah.
Full access.
You like my access? Yeah. My pat names are always great. And so then you create the thing, you paste it in here, and then you're logged in, and then you can do VSCE publish, and you're good to go. So now I should be in here somewhere. Let's see. Can we find it? Types installer helper services. going to be in the depths.
I'm looking.
Published. I wonder if I can search by.
Can you search by the
my author? Identifier? Maybe. Hey, there we go, and there it is. It's published to the marketplace, just like
there's
that.
There's the README. There's where the README would show up.
Yeah, that's where the README. Yeah. So the other thing that we should throw up on the screen that I didn't get the chance to talk about is this incredible repository of extension samples that you can work off of. I think we have an AKMS link for this repo. But this has just a ton of different samples for messing with specific VS Code APIs.
Which is really nice, because a lot of that stuff, as I was watching you do it, I was like, it's cool when you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But when you don't know what you're doing, how do you know what commands you need? How do you know to listen for an activation event that's a language file?
Yeah.
You look at the samples to see how other people are doing it.
Definitely the API docs or API references, which is here.
Did we throw up the URL there for the extension samples? Producer in the background. It's coming.
Are you there?
3, 2, 1.
Now. Yeah. So this URL, which shows you everything, all the API spec of what all the different things do, and then the samples repository. Those two resources are the only resources I used to build this extension, honestly.
And a regex tester.
Ah, yes. And regex 101, of course.
Regex 101. This is good. See, this is the kind of stuff people need. This is the real value right here.
This thing is so good.
Oh, man. It's awesome. Okay. So we've been cut off on Learn TV, but that's fine. We're still going on YouTube. A couple of questions. Are we ready for questions?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay. The first one has nothing to do with the extension whatsoever, but where did you get that lovely desktop background that you have?
This one?
Yeah. Look at that thing. That's incredible.
It's pretty nice. It's actually just one of the built-in
one of the like Mac defaults.
Yeah. This what is it? It's system preferences.
Oh no, that's fine. Yeah. If it's a built-in one, it's a built-in one. I thought desktop maybe you had like a line on. Yeah. You had a line on some gorgeous image gallery.
It's one of these in here somewhere. Yeah. Oh, actually, it might be gone now. No, that's right there. It's right there.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Okay. On that same theme of themes, what is your terminal theme? Like, what are you doing there in your terminal?
So, my terminal, yeah. All right, this guy, yeah. So, this is PowerShell. That I use on my Mac, which might be new to some of you that it is cross-platform. But then I also have, so it's all actually mostly in my dot files, my dot files repository. Dot files. Yeah. Under config and whoops. I thought I had do not disturb mode on, but I guess not.
Living dangerously.
I guess I don't get as many notifications as you do, Burke. I'm not as popular.
I'm blowing up all the time, Tyler. You don't even
know. Right. So it uses a thing called Oh My Posh, which is kind of like Oh My Z Shell to do all of this, right? And that's defined in here as well under posh themes. And it's just this big JSON file that defines all of it. And that's how that shows up. And then the other thing I have on that might be interesting to you is my PowerShell profile is also in here. Wait, hang on, different one, that one. And that has PS readline support, which gives me those like predictions here on the right. that like
purple text, like the right? Autocomplete. I think it's called DSH. It's called autocomplete.
Right, right. And that's defined in here somewhere. I want to say it's, yeah, in here. Prediction source history. And then inline predictions, I just changed the color to be this nice purple in this case.
Yeah, we'll get this posted in the comments, like a good link to your .dot files, because that's pretty cool for people that want to do PowerShell on Linux. Yeah, I forgot. I knew it was cross-platform, but I forgot and I did not recognize it. It looked like ZSH to me, so.
Fooled ya.
All right.
Anything else?
That's it. We're over time, which is fine. Any last words?
Any last words?
There's probably a better way to ask that question, but I didn't do it.
Should I be concerned? So, I mean, if you have any questions, if any of you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or in GitHub issues. My handle just about anywhere under the C is right there, at Tyler Leonhardt.
Do you have a Twitch stream?
Yeah, so I do. I haven't gotten the chance to stream often, but yes, I stream on Twitch, same handle, and I've been mostly doing VS Code extension work. So working on different APIs, kind of similar to this, except instead of me pre-making a bunch of snippets, I will like actually do it, which means it's like triple the time because I actually have to struggle through the nitty gritty, right? Yeah. Which is basically, yeah. 2 hours of me on Regex 101, 1 hour of me actually doing real work.
Which is what you should take away from the stream, which is that if you think any of us are just throwing down Regex and moving on, we are not. It takes forever to get it right, and we don't touch it.
Yeah. This is why I have this weird like esports looking jersey. It's the Live Coders, which is a bunch of streamers on Twitch who do coding things.
All right, so find Tyler on Twitch, find him on Twitter, email him directly, go to his house. No, don't do that. Thank you for joining us.
Seattle, you don't want to be here.
Right, yeah, it's like 150 degrees. Thank you for joining us, Tyler. Thank you for joining us, all you out there in VS Code land. We hope that you enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you for the next live stream on VS Code coming soon, coming at you. Make sure you check that out, code.visualstudio.com/livestream, and we'll check you later. Bye, everybody.
Bye.